Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Oh my goodness, I've been listening to this song for 30 years now. Thank you, Ben and Mike. And I've been waiting for the darn door to open, too, of this global currency reset. And today is one of those days where the universe isn't just lining up exactly the way you like it. If you notice, we're on the air a little bit late today. A member of our radio team's family is needs prayer, so throw out a prayer there. Just send out a blessing for anybody that's suffering in any way physically. See if we can lift that, and Randy and I'll hold a particular person in mind. We don't want to reveal who it is necessarily. What we want to do is that particular person's situation stimulated us to be thinking in terms of praying for those who need prayer. I'm one of them. I need prayer, boy, big time. Randy, I don't know whether you pray or not when you're doing your studies, your naturopathic studies. Do you ask God to help you through it or anything like that, or are you just on top of it?
That is so funny because I don't think I've been on my face more than in the last 30 to 45, 60 days. And today should be the last day of my actual classes. And
All right!
Yes. So, I mean, I'm finally to that door at least. I still have other ones to walk through, but yeah. I have probably not ever been closer to God than I have been in the last 30, 40, 60 days. So.
Well, boy, God, we need you. I'm telling you, the stuff that's going on in this world. I'm moving out of my house, okay? That's what's happening right now. Even if I win the foreclosure battle, which it looks like round one may have been, well, actually round 50 went to Deutsche Bank, and I haven't been able to find the necessary help that I require. And I've got till October 31st to be out of the house, which I think I just might be because I've wanted to be for a long time. But they think the sheriff is coming the next day, and I'm going to do whatever I can to stop that. I don't exactly know where I'm going or how it's working. I trust spirit, and I trust God, and I actually am aware of being an immortal soul. Probably this morning I thought, well, the worst that could happen was if I died in this process of dealing with the banks. I'm immortal. And I thought, you know, I have memories of being Joan of Arc, by the way. Just for those of you who are into past lives, I've had two experiences, Randy. One of them was in a courtroom where they were trying me for being a witch. Because I heard voices, okay? But I still hear voices. I guess it's a family trait. I get guidance. Anyway, good old Joan is talking to the jury and the courtroom and things of that nature, and they decide that, that she needs to be burned at the stake because that's what you do with witches. Well, that's what they said on the surface, but what was really was this was all of this was a fundraiser by the Catholic Church. Now, I don't know if you know this, Randy, but if I said Randy Shannon is a witch and another person, all I needed was one more person to agree, you would be arrested, you would be put on trial, and then your lands would be sold to pay for your trial. Pretty much what's going on right now. As I call it tenant court. I was in tenant court. Deutsche Bank illegally foreclosed on me. And then made me a tenant in my own house. And if you haven't been to tenant court, Randy, that's really where you get the cattle car sensation, where they're just shuffling people through and you know, telling them they can either have 2 weeks to be addicted, or if they like you, then they'll give you a month, okay? And then if you go without making any complaint, they'll make sure that it doesn't show in your credit score that you've been evicted.
So, wow.
The whole deal is a put-up deal from beginning to end. I sat in that courtroom. I actually sat in bankruptcy court years ago. Part of my thing is I've got this little lawyer in me somewhere that gets fascinated with this stuff. So I sat in bankruptcy court, and I watched 17 people lose their homes. And I was there, too, to lose my home, so they thought. But I said the right things, and I didn't lose my home. I didn't win it, but I was the only one that didn't get evicted that day. Now they've perfected their skills. Interestingly enough, I just can't get the right information that I need to file the right paperwork. So it's crazy stuff, and I've got a few things still up my sleeve. At the same time, I've got a lot of stuff. Randy's been over to my house. So I am already packing and giving things away just in case. And I've been waiting for this global currency reset that's supposed to happen multiple times. And every time it's about to happen, earthquake happens or firestorm happens. Remember that? What was that thing I read to you before? I don't know what happened to it, but I've gotten an email this morning. And the email was actually stating that the California firestorms are probably the result of something called DEW, which is an electronic weapon that they use to destroy the Twin Towers. It'll leave a piece of paper, but it'll twist metal. And what they've discovered is that there actually is glass and all kinds of things that have very high temperature rates. It just totally disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the dark side is actually after California right now, and we have a governor is it a swear word to call your governor an idiot?
No, I don't think so. That's a compliment. probably being kind, you know? And you have a crazy governor. What's up? Sanctuary state? I mean, come on. Did he consult with the people?
No.
He's like a dictator in California. What? I mean, I've never heard of such insanity.
Neither have I, and on top of that.
A sanctuary state?
Have you heard about that, Mike? We're a sanctuary state now?
You're a sanctuary state. You're the only state that's mandating vaccines.
Oh, and by the way, we can't put our kids in school unless we do the vaccines, and you can't get out of them. So we have a lot of homeschooling going on right now.
He's got a lot of bloodshed on his hands. I mean, you're mandating that poisons are put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
So religious exemption isn't working?
Nope. Can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You want your kid in public school, your kid gets vaccinated, period. That's it. So, you know, it's one thing after another, and then the latest news, sometimes I wish... I love Ron for all the videos he sends and stuff, but sometimes it's like, gosh, Ron, just send flash mobs. I love the flash mobs. He sent a couple of flash mobs. But he also, somebody sent me a video. I think it might have been our dear research director. And I listened to the video, and now they say that the HAARP machine is pointed at California. And do you know what the significance?
How do they know? How do they know this?
It starts to emit waves. And they can recognize the waves. They're not natural. They're shooting for creating an earthquake here. And we've got a huge fault that runs down the state. So I don't know. You know, I may not have to move at all.
They've got the state dried out from all the fires, and they got it dried out from none of the rain, and, you know.
Yeah,
there's no clouds to speak of. When we were there was just like literally no clouds to speak of. You either had a blanket of white coming out of the airplane, which, you know, I mean, a blind man can see that this blanket of white that just sticks around and hovers and spreads out like a big blanket, big carpet, something's up with that. And then you got
we got stuff all over the place, for God's sakes. But we've got people that are paid to fight with the president. We've got people that, I actually cannot say this word on the radio. We actually have three men that have threatened to cut off their DICKS if the wall goes up. I say, let the wall go up and let them lose them. They are saying that DICKSs are actually, the wall is an extension of Trump's DICKS. Dick. I think you can say Dick.
No.
You can't. Oh, Dick Tracy? You can't say Dick Tracy? Okay, well, Dick Tracy's, they want to get rid of, they want to give up their Dick Tracy's because they think that the wall is Dick Tracy for Trump. We have all of this stuff going on. I mean, you can't even walk down in the town anymore without people walking around in cell phones. It's like walking through the souls of the dead or something. You don't see people's faces anymore. They're all buried in cell phones. I was watching them in the crosswalks and stuff like that. I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about where our souls are headed. As Joan of Arc, I'm right out there. You know, I believe in a greater thing. And I'll tell you, at one point, one of the scenes in Joan of Arc was triggered in my memory through spilling blood, okay? And I held my sword up in the air, and I yelled, "I will not kill for God again." And how I got there was I actually had been learning how to play the flute with a rather well-known flautist, Susan Stockhammer, and I couldn't play three notes on the flute, and she kept getting annoyed with me, Randy, and saying, "You know, you're not practicing." And I said, "I am practicing. I don't know why I can play all the other notes and I can't play those three." So I went and had a past life regression to find out why I couldn't play those three notes, and I ended up as Joan of Arc. It didn't make any sense to me even then. I went through the whole thing. It was really interesting. But when I came home from battle, the three notes that I couldn't play on the flute are the notes that they play when the conquering hero returns. I didn't feel like a conquering hero.
Right.
I felt like I was out there just slugging around in the mud, killing for other people. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us have governments that have now become so overwhelming with what they're doing. We're going to play something for you. Randy, I know she's really going to enjoy it. It's a guy named Mike, and he's a congressman, okay? And dear old Mike tells off the IRS, and before we play the tape, I want to mention to you that there is no law anywhere in the books that says that anybody has to pay income tax. Nowhere, 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 not anywhere.
And if anyone questions that, all they have to do is go look up Aaron Russo's documentary on YouTube for free called America, Freedom to Fascism. America, Freedom to Fascism. One incredible documentary, an hour and a half. He thought everybody that said what you just said, Val, was insane. And so he set out with his film crew and production crew to debunk what you just said, and he could not do it.
I love it. He couldn't. Yesterday, one of the people that called to help me out, it was a cool realtor, because I was looking for, I needed some real estate attorney coaching, and Scott Robinson didn't have that, but he actually is an expert on the IRS. I should have him on the show. He actually also found out that, you know, back in 1910, 10% was usury, right? And mm-hmm. now I think it's 30 or 40% you have to get to. And
okay, let's address that, Val. Usury is, explain that.
Usury means that if you charge more than a certain amount for a loan, anything above that is considered usury, or it's a no-no. And 10% was what you used to be able to charge. Now,
okay.
If you're late on a credit card or something of that nature, there are certain states, and the states seem to determine what the limit is from what I've seen.
Okay.
At least the upper limits. I've seen as high as 40% after you're late.
And what's the IRS?
Well, the IRS one, you're just going to like it because this our Congressman Mike, he just really tells off the IRS in case. I always look for friends rather than look for enemies. There's plenty of enemies around. I'm looking for friends. And when I heard Mike, the congressman, telling off the IRS, I thought, you know, America should really hear this because we have the opinion that everybody in Congress is a jackpot, you know, that they're just mm-hmm. out for themselves and stuff. So when you hear Mike, let's play it, and then we can comment afterwards. Take it away, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Koskinen,
You think a legal doctrine that allows law enforcement officials at either the federal or state level to confiscate a family's cash, car, home, or business without ever being charged with the crime is a good thing? It's just a yes or no.
That's what the law is. The law says if
so
you
is
violate
a yes,
the structure of the law.
Please, you don't need to build me a watch. Just tell me what time is. Is it yes or no?
I'm sorry. The question.
All right. Here's my point. We are seizing people's assets because we think they may have done something wrong. We're talking about due process here.
There has to be a probable cause finding by a U.S.
attorney. And you can define probable cause anyway. Somebody's selling corn and tomatoes. This is the same as a member of a terrorist group, okay? Now, if you look up on the wall here, because this is what I believe is going on. This is extortion. The practice of obtaining money, property, or services through coercion, force, or threats is synonymous with a shakedown. Now, I know that really rankles the IRS, and it should. But it should not just rankle the IRS. It should rankle every single American because you know what? We all work for the same people. We're all trying to get to the same end. This isn't grilling you for the sake of grilling you. This is the fact that Americans' rights have been taken from them by an agency that somehow equates a guy who gets up at 12:30 in the morning to milk cows is the same as a guy who structures some type of a scheme in order to be a terrorist.
And that's why we changed the policy.
Listen, I'm not asking you about that. I'm going to ask Mr. Weber. So when you sit down, Mr. Weber, with the people you work with, do you all sit down and say, sometimes we look at what we do, and I think that we're really far from where we're supposed to be. Do you ever do our best practices or our worst practices?
Yeah, that's why I changed the policy a year and a half ago.
Okay, but now all those folks that you have under some type of you've deemed under a possible structure. You've seized their assets, right?
We don't seize based upon a possible structuring, Congressman. What we do is we work with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
They haven't been
office.
Convicted of anything,
we then, and they don't have to be
they
pursuant to the law that's been on the books for 30 years. So what we do is we go to the U.S. Attorney's Office, sir. We get
Mr.
a
Weber,
warrant signed
I
by
understand.
A judge.
I understand. It's wrong. It's wrong. You can say hey, just because it's a law doesn't make it right.
Right.
It's wrong. You know it's wrong, and the people you work with know it's wrong. So what I would suggest is you do the same type of a look inside that Congress does of what is it that we're doing that actually is hurting people, how are we keeping people from reaching the American dream, and shouldn't we maybe turn around and fix it? I'm not coming after you because I don't like you. I'm coming after you because this is absolutely insane that we have to have a committee meeting to talk about people who are being wronged. Their assets are being seized. You keep their money. In some cases, they get some of it back. In some cases, they get none of it back. Who determines that? In some cases, we say to them, hey, you know what? Give me 50 cents and a dollar, and you can go away. You're seizing money from real people. Real people. Americans. These are not people who are terrorists. These are not people who are running some kind of a drug chain. And you know it. You know it. There's an article in the Washington Post I'd like to put in, Mr. Chairman. And it does have to do with the asset seizures fueling police spending. And I know, Mr. Koskinen, it was only $22 or $23 million, and honest to God, back where I'm from. That's a lifetime of ultimate success, okay? So it's not peanuts.
It's a very
different
situation.
But here's what I want to get to, though. Listen, I want to tell you something. When we can get to the point that we look at each other and decide we're going to do what's right for the American people, not that somehow people are going to ask you gotcha questions, because I know that's what happened to the Taylors and the Sowers. It was all gotcha stuff. People come in, sit down at your kitchen table, have a glass of iced tea, talk a little bit about this, a little bit about that. The next thing you know, you better have a lawyer the next time we talk. And the meter starts to run. And it continues to run. And it continues to run. And you know the people who don't have to worry about picking up the tab on the bill? You all. The same people that fund you fund all the different legal activity. Every single penny comes from hardworking American taxpayers. Mr. Weber, please, I'm talking to you. I know you don't want to look at me on this. And I understand that. I understand that. But here's what I want to get to. There has to be some point in time that we do the right thing for the American people because that's basically who we are. That's the very fabric of who we are as a people. Just as a biblical reference, you know when David went in to fight the Philistines? You know why David went to fight the Philistines? Because he went to feed his army, the Israelite army, that was afraid to go into the valley against Goliath because Goliath was so big. Goliath was so intimidating. Nobody would go out. David... His dad says, hey, take corn, take water, they need your help. He goes there, and you know what he finds? Nobody in the army is willing to go into the valley. Nobody. And you know what David says? He goes out himself, and you know what he declares? Is there not a just cause? Is there not a cause? And I would hope that each member of the IRS understands that we're not painting you all as being bad people. but you are having a dramatic effect and a negative effect on the American people. And I think Kenny just talked about when we as a government no longer stand up for the rights of individuals and freedom. We have turned our back on 1.4 million people in uniform that gave their lives that we could practice our type of government today. This is not coming after the IRS because we don't like you. This is coming after the IRS because you have hurt our people together, all of us. And I think that's the thing that we have to start understanding. It is not a me versus you. It's not you versus the American people. But at some point, doesn't somebody say, is there not a cause? And can we not take a wrong and make it a right? You don't pay them for loss of income. You don't pay them interest. You don't pay them for damage to their reputation. What you do is say, hey, we may give you some of it back. Maybe we won't. Depends how I'm feeling. Okay. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about it's legal. There's a hell of a difference between what's legal and what's right. You all know that. I know it. I've suffered it in my personal business life. And that's why we're here. This is America's house, representing every single American, including every member of the IRS, by the way. I do appreciate your service, but I think when we realize that we're doing the wrong thing, stand up and just say, we were wrong and we're going to make it right. That's so basic in what we believe as Americans. It just is so fundamental, and there truly is a cause. So, Chairman, I yield back.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Wow. That's just an absolute wow tape. That's audio. That's incredible. And why is that not played on the news? Still with me, Val? I think you're on mute. Thank you, Mike.
I was on mute, actually. I was making all these great comments. No, Soros, if it isn't Soros, it's his son, it's their friends. They own the media. And what can I say? Our program is actually dedicated to being happily200.com and happily200.thrivehdh.com, which is the possibility of living a quality life and being of service and living in the fifth dimension. I'm putting that in the middle of this program because, honest to gosh, this is one of the toughest days for everyone, you know? I am so aware of suffering around me and so aware of things not going, quotes, according to schedule. And talking with my friend Jenna, who's very connected up on the global currency reset, and finding out that the rich people have already been paid, they've already got their money,
mm-hmm.
and we don't again. And then every time we're supposed to be paid, I get told when we're supposed to be paid, and darned if we don't have a firestorm, or darned if a hurricane doesn't come up, or darned if now I hear the heart machine is facing us. There's a timing that goes on every time the populace, it's the upper class, have been paid. But every time it comes to actually freeing the people, some catastrophe happens. And one of the reasons Trump guys wanted Obamacare taken out was that Barack Obama had written into the Obamacare back in the, I think they call them pork feet or pig rinds or something like that, that if the global currency reset went through at that time, that they could claw back 70% of it, take it back for themselves. So there's just all kinds of skullduggery that's being put out, and our job is to go wading through it. Our job is to move forward. Our job is to be responsible in our own lives the best we know how and to do whatever it takes to keep ourselves healthy and moving forward and believing. Because if we lose our belief, we're just going to turn into piles of gel because we have to stand up. We have to say, this isn't right. Just like that guy said, you know, it may be legal. It's not right. I like that phrase, actually, Randy.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about this global currency reset. I'm a kind of person that I just have to have some sort of proof when it comes to things like that. Like, I have heard these rumors forever, and yet I don't know a soul who has been paid.
That have been paid at this point, and it's totally, I know through a friend who's got friends that have already been paid, and she is totally, thoroughly honest and doesn't mislead stuff, and she's so frustrated. She's got animals that are dying because she can't get them cared for, that kind of thing. People that have horses and cattle and things like that, and they can't feed their livestock. There's all kinds of stuff like that going on. And when we know for a fact that certain countries have already gotten the money and done different things, and that the Iraqis have been partying for weeks because they're all taking care of their little credit. The citizens of Iraq actually have cards, Randy. I don't know if you know this or not. And the government pays them. Just like if you're an Alaskan citizen, you get paid for being a citizen in Alaska. Maybe they should move up there. That's where Anna von Reich is. I really like her. Anyway, the state of Alaska, because of their resources, actually returns money to its citizens. Iraq is doing the same thing.
Wow.
They have these little black cards, and now their little black cards are good, and they're partying all over the place. And that wasn't the case before. So I get your skepticism. It's really easy to be skeptical when something takes so long.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't even understand some of the things that are said about it. And so I just, you know, in a case like that, I just want to see or talk to somebody that's really real, not this whole, you know, used to call these criminals elites, and I never understood that term. It's like, why is everybody getting on this bandwagon of calling these people elites? I've heard the media do it, the mainstream media. It's like, they aren't elites, they're scumbags. You know, let's just get real and stop with this whole...
Well, they're calling them elites because they're, quotes, well-bred, okay?
What's well-bred about, you know, thieves, criminals, and liars? I don't know what's well-bred about that at all.
You asked how it got, why they were called elites. I'm telling you, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I just get
passionate about it. That's all I'm like.
It just has to do with bloodlines. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I am of that bloodline. Of the bloodline of the scumbags. Which is one of the reasons why I spent my life being so good, is I didn't want to be associated with him. My grandfather was satanic. I actually observed a satanic sacrifice of a human being when I was 3, which did screw me up pretty well for quite a while. Actually, it took 50 Rothian sessions and about 100 other sessions just to get the horror out of my body. My feet, Randy... as an adult, we're 7.5, and when I started the work on my feet, now that I've gotten them straightened out more, are now 9s. That's how terrified. I was literally frozen in terror. I had different things that I screamed out and things that happened and body work, and I probably spent close to $1 million on myself getting my past released because my memories were blocked.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come I'm into so much of this stuff, because I have a little memory, okay? I remember my grandfather. I remember being 4 years old and watching my grandfather. He was laying on the couch, and my grandmother was standing next to me, and she says, I think Fred's having a stroke. I think he's dying. And I just remember my arms crossed saying, good. For years, I couldn't figure out why a four-year-old would say, good, that their grandfather was dying. And later on, that was the piece that I started investigating from and doing all this different work, biofeedback work, body work, Rolfing, Reichian work, dream work, screaming, blah, 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 biofeedback, you name it, I've done it. And piece by piece, I'd read a book or I'd start crying and I'd start crying. I was trying to remember the Mystic River. I was reading, I was at Costco, and I picked up the book Mystic River, and I was looking at it, and I thought, why am I so into witchcraft? Because I wrote my senior paper on it. And why am I so much into books that have murder in them? It just doesn't make sense to me. But I've had enough. I used to watch SUV, you know, the TV series on the sexual police in New York, and with... It's been on like 20 years. I used to watch like 5 episodes a day, and I thought that was excessive, but I couldn't stop watching. After
right.
I took the book, Randy, and put it down, a person, and this happens for me all the time, by the way, the person standing next to me picked it up and put it back in my hand and said, no, you're supposed to read it. I said, okay. I have that happen in my life. Where a person will walk up to me and give me a command, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I went home and I read it, and I got to the part where these killers were chasing this woman through the park, and she hid under a grate. And it reminded me of being under the staircase in my home in Vancouver, which is where I was hiding when they were doing this human sacrifice. I had been playing down in the cellar, and then they came in, and I went under the staircase. So I cried for 14 hours after that.
After I can imagine.
That book. I then saw the movie. It didn't have the same effect. The book, there were things in the book that just opened. It was like turning a key in a lock and memories flowing out. It was terrible. It was also liberating to actually get to reclaim myself. So, you know, that's what I think 30 years of radio is about, is me helping to reclaim myself and me and the people around me giving you, the listener, the opportunity to reclaim yourself, because we're amazing human beings.
Yeah.
I was telling you before the show about the Bulletproof Conference last weekend. A guy named Dave Ayers sells Bulletproof Coffee, which I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of it?
No. I mean, now that you say that, Bulletproof Coffee, maybe I did hear of that, but what is it?
Florida. I think he's in Florida. Well, his passion, and he's a very interesting guy, his passion is, how do you optimize a human being?
Okay.
And I actually spent an hour and 20 minutes in a hyperbolic chamber. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, like where you're getting the saturation of oxygen, correct?
Yeah, but they also use it. They also use it when they bring divers up and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Help them normalize.
When they got the what's known as the bends, they have a bubble or whatever.
Yeah, they got bubbles. Anyway, you put them in a hyperbolic chamber. And I guess they sometimes say, I think they have to stay in there more than a day. I don't really know the details on that. And then about 20 years ago, they started putting hyperbolic chambers in chiropractors' offices. They weren't cheap. They were like $50,000-$60,000. And then now you can buy your own hyperbolic chamber for about $3,000, $4,000. And it looks like a little capsule with a zipper in it. And it's all padded inside. And you get in there. And this is so clever, because I thought that they would have to, you know, I was looking for the oxygen tank. Well, they have a little piece of some motor or something that actually takes and concentrates the oxygen out of the air and then puts that in and takes everything else out. So you're in high concentration of oxygen. I thought that was pretty amazing.
It is.
And I have to tell you, though, I just wanted to sleep. And I felt really good after I slept. And then it was a three-day conference. I went to two of them. On the second day, I don't know if you know this or not, but when people don't sleep a full 8 hours, usually they're asleep like 4 to 6. The last 2 hours of the 8 hours of sleep that you're asked to do has to do with you actually restoring your body. So I've been going through all this foreclosure battle, blah, 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 with Deutsche Bank and stuff, and I noticed that my arthritis was just getting horrible again, where I'd been taking the Thrive HGH, and it was getting really good, and I couldn't figure out why it was so horrible again. And well, all of my thinking and plotting and scheming and stuff, I was only sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night, so I was actually missing it, Randy. I was missing the 2 hours where you restore yourself. As soon as I went back and put the 2 hours back in, my arthritis started to get better.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, what most people don't know, and I didn't even know until, you know, I started to go through my schooling, is that our body systems really, especially digestive, kind of shut off around 7 o'clock. And it can, you know, East Coast, 7 o'clock, whatever. It's 7 o'clock approximately, give or take. And so then your body, so if you go and you overeat at 10 o'clock and then you go to bed, that was supposed to be the time when your body was cleansing itself and repairing itself. And now it's having to go to work while you sleep. And so you're missing what you're, that rejuvenation that you should have woke up with.
Exactly. So, well, you're talking digestive now. But what's interesting is, and what these clever buggers have done, I can't remember, it's like Calm or something like that. I tried this too. You sit in a chaise lounge, and they put these like glasses on you, and they do a certain program. And what they do is they actually put you into the last 2 hours of the sleep cycle. See, there's different brain frequencies in different parts of the cycle. Like when you're talking about, Randy, with a digestion, that'd be a certain brain frequency that would do that. There's another brain frequency that goes with the restoration, okay? So they can now replicate those. technically speaking, if you had the right equipment and you ate at 10 o'clock at night, you could actually, if you had the right equipment and you were smart enough, you could actually trick your brain into doing what it was doing at 7 by giving it certain frequencies. So they could actually be selective with it. That blew my mind. I thought that was pretty special.
Science is interesting, that's for sure.
It's a place you would have gone nutso bananas, I promise. Ola was there. There were just a lot of very interesting people there. What's really interesting is that Dave Eyers actually has used a lot of, I'm going to say, pharmaceuticals to keep himself going. He noticed that his brain wasn't working the way he wanted to, and he took certain pharmaceuticals over years. So he tends to talk in that realm of his pharmaceuticals and stuff. But I listened to his closing keynote speech, and it was really funny, because what he said in the last two sentences of the whole thing actually probably define him. And what he said was that meditation and prayer were the most powerful things that you could do, and they didn't cost anything.
Interesting.
It was surprising to hear him say it, because there wasn't any other evidence, really, that he had a lot of care for that. But he said when it boils right down to it, you can walk away from here and you can pray and you can meditate and you can take care of yourself, and nothing is better than that. Nothing that I've said here is any better than that.
Wow.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. So I believe he's from Florida. You may want to check him out.
I will. You know, I definitely will.
You get back from Maine, you know?
Exactly. So,
no,
you know, it's funny because one
right
of my
now,
studies...
I'm that? Just saying, when you get home from Maine, it'd be cool.
It would. It would be very cool. You know, one of my studies, one of my classes that I'm doing today is on parasites. And I actually was up before the show and was diving into it. And it's so much
diving
like,
into parasites? That's a disgusting thing to say.
Well, and the thing is our topic was, you know, we started out with this whole IRS and the conversation. And parasites, it's so like the government. I mean, I couldn't believe how close it was. Like, the human body is composed of billions of cells, and some of them, believe it or not, are, there's actually more non-human cells in the body than cells of human origin. Did you know that? And I know you're going to take it another route, but it's...
No, I remember when there was do you remember the blue-green algae?
Yes.
Everybody was taking blue-green algae. I had to sit there and decide, was I going to let all these aliens in my body? So I actually did have that thought of it. And people were saying it was such good stuff that I decided that. But, I mean, you know, those little creatures had never met me before. And now
right.
I was...
Well, you know, not all of those creatures are bad. That's the thing. They're not there to harm you. They actually help the host, you being the host. So,
I understand, but it was. I had to make a decision to allow them to go in.
I gotcha. I know. It's a weird thing to think about, throwing in some good bacteria versus the bad that's already sitting in there that you got through.
Okay, down to it. How many pounds of parasites does the average person have in their body?
Well, I don't have it down to the pounds yet, but... You know,
you will.
We do have to throw in good bacteria. So when you're talking about that, you know, they live symbiotic. The bad bacteria really start to act up when your immune system starts to take a dive. That's when they're opportunistic. So the moment they see you start to take a dive, that's when they make their attack. Otherwise, they're just kind of living symbiotic. They're just kind of going with the flow, but their whole point is to consume all of our good nutrients. Everything that you eat that's good, their whole, you know, the bad ones, the bad bacteria, their whole point is to just eat and survive off of your good nutrients and then the tissues inside of us. So
sure sounds like the banks and the IRS, doesn't it?
Right. They're totally lazy. They don't look for their own food. They just take what is coming through. I mean, does that not, it's like so parallel, it's not even funny.
No, it is actually very funny. I think it's like so perfect and appropriate, I can hardly stand it. It's just wonderful.
I mean, I woke up and started this this course today, so very interesting. No,
what's really funny here is, you know, I handled cancer like 2 months, and then I got it back again. And then I realized that I got it back because I was under stress. So then I had back and, you know, drink more 9.5 water and pay attention to my food and measure, you know, measure my alkaline level. And then it's gone again. But it's just like what you were saying. It's a rhythm, okay? And the rhythm is that they create stress for us. And stress is all this different little thing, projects they got going for us, you know, taking our homes, killing our kids, whatever. They're stressful. So when people are stressed, then everything starts to act up, okay? So really, get yourself litmus paper. Laugh as much as possible. Take stress out of your life and pay attention. Stay over 7. Then if you dip below 7, then you're back in what Randy was talking about. These little buggers are just waiting there for you, and they're well fed by the time they get there. So the deal is, take yourself back over 7. Take charge.
Yeah, one of the ways to do it, Val, is to throw in good, you know, when you're eating food, there's something called prebiotics, and then there's also probiotics. And both of those are positives, and you take them. You can take them in a powder form. You can put them in a smoothie, shake, whatever. Or, you know, there's other ways you can actually get them through your food, too, but not our foods aren't as good. So if you throw that in.
Pre and a pro.
They work they do have little differences. I'll get you the breakdown. We'll do a whole show on this because I think people would be fascinated because here's the thing. The studies that are out there are saying that about 85% of the population have parasites at one time or another, but the naturopath doctors are finding that it's in the high 90s. And, you know, there's no immigration. There's no Donald Trump immigration policy to stop them. We don't have visa requirements. They're just coming in. You know, we've got people coming in from other countries that bring them in droves because of what's going on, you know, in their diets and stuff. And doctors here in America, they just literally don't address it. They probably address it more in Florida than they do any other state. And I say Florida just because we have so many foreigners coming in from
Because I've heard that, I'm not going to mention the name of it, but one of the major coffee chains has been hiring people from the Middle East, and the problem being not about their race, the problem being exactly what you were talking about. They've got high incidences of tuberculosis and stuff like that. So you don't want to be around this coffee. The people that are coming in are not necessarily healthy people, and I'm not talking about what color they are. I'm talking about, you know, what they've been through.
Right. Yeah.
We have to pay attention to that. And I don't know how you pay attention to all this stuff. I just do it the best I can. The conference was called Being Bulletproof, and I kept thinking, is it even possible to be bulletproof? And I think the only way to be bulletproof with all this stuff that we're looking at, Randy, is to be in touch with the fact that we're actually souls, and our souls are immortal. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, well, I mean, of course they're immortal. You're going to go one way or another.
Okay.
If we're
immortal, then this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
We stay on the track of bringing ourselves forward, being the best that we can be in any given situation, and that's the best we can do. We do the best we can do, and that sets us up for the next incarnation. Or not. You know, I was told that if you were cremated, you didn't have to come back.
Right.
Maybe that's how many people are getting cremated. Have you heard that one?
I did hear something about that, yes.
So I've got a lot of ashes around me. My family members, they all ashed out. My dad's in the ground, but the rest of my family is all ashes. I don't know. To ash or not to ash, that is the question.
You know, someone was telling me, I mean, there's that, like what you just said there, somebody was telling me a story about a preacher, I guess, preacher, pastor, whatever, and I can't tell you the exact scripture, but basically in the scriptures, it tells you that, you know, we are to raise the dead. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do. And there's a guy that goes to other countries where they don't immediately, like here in this country, we immediately, you know, take the blood out of people, and we put in this fluid and all these preservatives. And in these other countries, they don't do that. So this guy literally has made a ministry out of traveling around and raising the dead. And he told the story. Yeah, there's a video on YouTube, and I'm going to have to research him because this was months ago. I was looking into it. But he was telling the story about how he was on an airplane, and he had just done basically, I don't even want to call it a conference because it's not really a conference, but he was speaking in one of these, you know, maybe South American countries, Central American countries. And he's on a plane to go home. Him and his wife are there, and literally somebody a row or two up falls over and dies on the plane. And the wife was like, you need to raise him. You need to. And he actually waits like 7 or 10 minutes because all these people are flipping out on the plane. And he goes over and he just does it, whatever it is. You know, he talks to God and just raises him back and brings him back. But we don't have that ability. I mean, if people, most of this country are believers, they read the Bible. It says it in there, so it's not Randy being crazy. It's in the scripture. So if you believe in the scripture, then you believe that what God said was true and real. He didn't change or alter. People like to say he did, or he got soft, or whatever. No, it's not true. Read the scriptures. And
I guess the scriptures get interpreted different ways by different people.
That's true. I don't know if anybody is in disagreement on where it says that about raising the dead. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I'll try and dig up that guy's information and send it over to you.
Mm-hmm. So, I need your prayers. I've worked very hard to actually bring together this court situation and to stop Deutsche Bank from taking my house. And I pretty much decided to almost be moved out of here anyway because I had wanted to be moved out of here a long time ago. However, what I would like to do is have the global currency reset come through, and I would like to take on some of that stuff that I saw at the Bulletproof show. For one thing I'd like to take on would be to have the bedroom chambers of the house inside the walls actually be generating oxygen, and maybe, you know, on a timer or something like that. So we get, you know, like an hour of oxygen and then an hour or two off and things of that nature so that we can have happy, healthy lives. So that's my vision, okay?
3 seconds.
In the meantime, what I'm thinking about is Thrive HGH. I take that faithfully. And it's allowed me to stay awake and be present through things that I normally would have just, you know, gone to bed and pulled the covers up over my head. I'm still going for it. I'm 77 years old, and people have a hard time believing it. They usually believe it when they see me in person. They'll think I'm 60 or 55 or something like that, but it's because I do things, and it's also because I believe in God. And I want to just take this opportunity and thank all the people that have been on Waking Up in America for the last 30 years. You're great people, and I'm very glad that you've been here. I want to thank Randy. I think it's six years now that she's been here, and just notice everybody's getting better and stronger all the time, even though we have challenges. And by the way, you know, Randy has some doozies. So our program is dedicated to 100.com and happily200.thrivehgh.com because we actually can reverse the aging process. We actually can get younger. And we can do the things that when you say, I used to be able to do that, well, I'm doing things I used to be able to do, and it's a big, wonderful thing to actually have the energy to say no to the banks right now. We'll see if I win this round. I don't know. I want to have you have intention to go after in your life what is important to you, just like Miss Shannon over here getting her degree up in Maine or wherever she's doing it. You know, I know you have to go to different places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
The deal being is she's doing it.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.